Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti.
I like a nice cup of tea in the morning, for to start the day, you see. And at 11:30, well, my idea of heaven is a nice cup of tea. I like a nice cup of tea with my dinner, and a nice cup of tea with my tea. And when it's time for bed, there's a lot to be said for a nice cup of tea. They say it's not nutritious, but darn it, it's delicious, and that's all that matters to me. It turns your meat to leather. Well, let's all die together. The one drink in paradise is tea.
I like a nice cup of tea in the morning, for to start the day, you see. And at 11:30, well, my idea of heaven is a nice cup of tea. I like a nice cup of tea with my dinner, and a nice cup of tea with my tea. And when it's time for bed, there's a lot to be said for a nice cup of tea.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to another edition of your program, Happy Station from PCJ Radio International. Now, you're probably wondering why we began with Eddie Starr's Nice Cup of Tea, which we haven't played in a very long time, and that's because, well, next week on the program, we are going to be doing something special, because next week's Happy Station, which is on the 19th of November, is going to be the 89th anniversary of the program. The 89th anniversary of the program. Now, technically, actually, it's on the 18th of November. So we'll make it the birthday weekend, because we know that some programs, or rather some stations, hear this program on a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. Now, it airs on Sunday on PCJ, so we'll just make it a birthday weekend. Now, what we have planned, well, I'm not going to say anything right now. All that, you'll just have to tune in. Okay, let's begin with a piece of music right away, Marvin Gaye and How Sweet It Is.
How sweet it is to be loved by you, yes, baby, ooh. How sweet it is to be loved by you, ooh, baby, I needed the shelter of some one's arms, and there you were. I needed someone to understand my ups and downs, and there you were. With sweet love and devotion, deeply touching my emotions, I wanna stop and thank you, baby. What would I be without you in my life? Everything was just a bore. All the things I did since I've done them before. But you brighten up all my day with a love so sweet in so many ways. I wanna stop and thank you, baby. I wanna stop and thank you, baby. Loved by you. Oh, yes, it is, baby.
legendary Marvin Gaye with How Sweet It Is. Something I think that Jackie Gleason used to say, "Ooh, how sweet it is," during the Jackie Gleason show. I don't know if he said on the Honeymooners, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. Anyway, as I mentioned at the top of the program, next week we're doing a special program for the 89th anniversary. Now, 89, of course, is a nice year. It's a nice year. Yes, yes, yes. We're not going to make it too big, only because the big one should be 90, right? 90. You know, 85, yes. Between 85 and 90, so, little. And then, of course, big 90. 95, so, little. And, of course, 100, yes, big. Anyway, so that's what we are going to do. But nevertheless, we are going to have some fun things on the program next week and also some fun little giveaways as well. Now, today on the program, a few emails came in a while back from when we ran a program from the series The Golden Windmill Contest, produced by Radio Nederland in 1970 and 1971. And we ran, I think, the first prize from that contest. And somebody was asking if we had any others, and actually we do. And they said, if we have any others, can we use one on the program? And that's exactly what we are going to do today. But first, let's have a little bit of music with Marlene Dietrich and Where Have All the Flowers Gone?
Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time ago. Where have all the flowers gone? Young girls pick them, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn? Where have all the young girls gone? Long time passing. Where have all the young girls gone? Long time ago. Where have all the young girls gone? Gone to young men, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn? Where have all the young men gone? Long time passing. Where have all the young men gone? Long time ago. Where have all the young men gone? Gone to soldier everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn? Where have all the soldiers gone? Long time passing. Where have all the soldiers gone? Long time ago. Where have all the soldiers gone? Gone to graveyards, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn? Where have all the graveyards gone? Long time passing. Where have all the graveyards gone? Long time ago. Where have all the graveyards gone? Gone to flower everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they end? Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing. Where have all the flowers gone? Long time ago. Where have all the flowers gone? Young girls pick them, everyone. When will they ever learn? When will they ever learn?
One of my favorite versions of all time of that fantastic song, Where Have All the Flowers Gone?, performed there by Mylene Dietrich and arranged and conducted by Bert Bacharach, who worked as her musical director for many, many years. All right, let's now go to another of the participants of the Golden Windmill Contest that also won a prize. This is a play from November 13th. Yes, November 13th, so very close to this date, November 13th, 1971. It's called The Way Out West, a play written by Laverne Kerr.
Radio Nederland, the Dutch World Broadcasting System, presents The Way Out West, a play for radio by Laverne Kerr. Second prize winner in the Golden Windmill Radio Drama Contest, a competition organized in cooperation with the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. The Way Out West.
Howdy, stranger. Nice morning. Say, aren't you the fella bought the old Sturgis place out on State 35? Yeah, I thought so. Right, nice little spread you got yourself there. Had a little trouble here in town a couple of nights back. Oh, you hear about it, did you? Yeah? Did you ever see him? And that pesky little motorcycle he had? No? Well, you're just about the only one in these parts that hasn't, then. Oh, he was a sight, that one. Old Wilson said when he seen him come in down at the train station, he said, that is, if you got a minute. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I know how it is when the ladies get to shopping. Coffee? Well, I won't say no. Here, let me prop my broom up, eh? Say, Millie, give me a cup, will you? Yeah, I was down there passing the time of day with old Wilson when the train come in, and this fella got down off it all by himself. Nobody to meet him, and carrying one of those big, heavy laundry bags, you know, like sailors carry their things around in. Only this fella wasn't dressed like a sailor.
Here's your coffee.
Yeah, thanks, Millie. No, sir, he sure wasn't dressed like a sailor, not by a long shot.
Say, Al. Will you look what just come in on the 720 there?
Well, I'll be... Not much trouble seeing him, I guess. Not even if it was pitch black out here. Not in an outfit like that.
What kind of get-up do they call that, anyway?
I'll be cheeky do I know. I guess it's what them beatniks or hippies or whatever they are wear.
But you look at that bright yellow pants. Orange and green, striped shirt, beads around his neck. Can you imagine a grown man going out in public in a get-up like that?
Well, I hear tell they like bright colors.
I guess.
Take a look at that necktie. Must be a yard wide. And as many flowers on it as the desert after good rain. Never know what you're going to see next in this world, do you?
Something about the way this fella looked at you. No, not mean. I couldn't honestly say that. More just very cool, you know? Like he didn't know his clothes was funny looking. So he stood around there on the platform while, like he was waiting for something. And pretty soon they set down off the baggage car one of these little motorcycles. And he loaded that laundry bag on the back and took off up Main Street, sounding like a nest of hornets. A couple of days later, I heard tell he was staying in a rooming house down on Horsetail Street. But he... Oh, no, sir. No trouble at all about that. No, we got a different way of doing things out here than you do back east. No, man's got the cash money. Doesn't matter if he's purple or green. He can stay any place in this town he's got a mind to. Being new here yourself, you know how friendly and hospitable people in this town are.
Well, no, he hasn't opened an account with us yet.
My cash is checks for him every month. Same as I do for anybody else. I don't treat him a bit different. Well, no, not personal checks. They're government checks. Gets a pension or something, I guess. Yeah, maybe so. Maybe you're right. Well, if he is on the poverty program, that new addition I'm putting on the bank out there will come in right handy, won't it? Got to have room for all that extra money, huh? Oh, well. Things could be worse. Won't last forever. That's the way I look at it. Yeah, well, you just wait till the next election.
So I said to Pedro or Pancho or whatever the hell his name is, you know that Latina kid I got working for me? Well, just as soon as I saw that guy in town on his motorcycle, I said, now you get out there and dust off those cars, hombre. They look like hell. I mean, they really look like hell. So polish them up and none of that manana stuff. I mean, right now. And get this. Particularly the Cadillacs, I told them.
I'll bet you know some really fantastic songs, huh, Chili? Don't you? I mean, the kind they don't ever play on the radio, huh, Chili? And doesn't he have the most fantastic clothes? I mean, they really turn me on. I have made the most fantastic effort to get Bobby to wear something like that, but he just hangs on to his old Levi's and his old boots like they were solid gold. Oh, unreal.
So I told the greaser here in the kitchen to be sure and keep plenty of chicken fried up. And I told Sam to drop me off an extra watermelon now and then. Savvy?
Yeah, he eats in here almost every night. As long as he behaves himself, his money's as good as anybody else's. But if you want my personal opinion, all that racial trouble they got in those big cities, it's my personal opinion that they could take a tip from us fellas out here that really know what it's all about.
So I thought maybe we could invite him over to our discussion group a few times. You know, just to get acquainted so he knows we're with him and that we completely support him. You know, to reassure him that he has real friends he can count on out here. Why, then maybe we could, you know, beat that boy?
What?
You know, James Baldwin. You read that. I know you did. We were talking about it just the other day. Beat that boy. You know, discuss the race problem with an expert. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. Every place you went, people was interested in him and as friendly as could be. Not like your big cities where nobody cares if you're alive or dead. No, sir. Wasn't any place that fella couldn't go. Nothing he couldn't do. Everyone treated him just fine. Oh, once a bunch of damn fool kids let the air out of the tires on his motorcycle and tied a flag on it and a sign saying, Buy American. One of those little foreign machines he had, you know, not much bigger than a toy anyhow. But, hell, you know how kids are. They didn't mean anything by it. And nothing to do with this discrimination business. And no harm done. Just pump up the tires again, good as new. But he wasn't the easiest fella to get to know. Kind of standoffish he was right from the start. Yeah. Oh, only thing about him that bothered most people was those clothes he wore. One outlandish outfit after another. Never seen anything like it. Now, me, I'm old-fashioned and set in my ways, and I can hear you saying, now, what's an old bird like Al Fridler? No, yeah, that's all right, though. I do think there's some things a person learns he can't get out of books. Not to knock education, but it wasn't just us old-timers. No, sir. Even the top men in town, men like Mr. Skidmore. Owns that big department store I showed you down the street and some other places around town. And Mr. Gage. Now, he's a big man in real estate around here. Probably did business with him. He did business with his firm, anyway, and you bought your place, huh? Yeah, well, men like that. Now, there's nothing old-fashioned about them. Forward-looking men. Like things up to date as well as anyone.
Well, well. Look here coming down the street in his fancy duds.
You suppose he's just walking along the street this morning like anybody else, or is he maybe on his way to protest something?
I like to protest myself, those outfits he gets on. But what you mean is he just heading in there for a cup of coffee like the rest of us? Or is he maybe planning on one of those sit-ins or demonstrations?
Well, he's not coming in for coffee, looks like.
No, must be a march of some kind then. It sure is hard to tell when you only got one of them in town, isn't it?
Yes, those two got a real sense of humor. Yeah, if our people had a sense of humor, we wouldn't have half the troubles we got in this world today. Well, so anyway, I didn't think any more about it until later on in the evening I was hanging around over in back of the barbershop. Now, everyone knows those boys over there don't think about nothing except the turn of the cards or maybe opening a fresh bottle.
Horse? I could see a horse, but not that stupid sewing machine he rides around on.
Well, Cox, whatever else you got to say about him. You got to admit, it takes a lot of guts to run around the open dress like that.
Yeah, guts. So when the guts cause all the trouble.
Oh, now, what kind of trouble can one little skinny colored fellow dressed up like a peacock make, Berkey?
One? No. You just wait till he drags the others in here.
Others? What do you mean by that?
I saw it on TV. What they do every place. Detroit, Chicago, Newark. They run in all these guys from out of town, see? Mm-hmm. And then they cause all this trouble. And then when everything's all wrecked, that's when they clear out.
Hell, Berkey, you always take everything too serious. Just get him out of those pretty clothes and some boots and Levi's and a Stetson. He'll just be like anybody else.
He'd still be black, though, wouldn't he?
Give me three.
You know, blacker than a ranch hand in summer. I'll take two. Or an Indian or a Mexican. Got room for everybody out here in the wide open spaces. As long as they act decent, don't try to put on like they're some better than somebody else.
No skin off my nose.
Well, it's off of mine. I got to look at him. Why can't he dress like a man? I get that taste of bile in the back of my throat every time I see him. Grown man running around in an outfit like that. I don't care what color he is.
Well, now, maybe being from back east, he just doesn't know any better. You ever think of that? Did you, Berkey? So why don't we... Why are we sitting around here jabbing at the jaw all night? Now, are we going to sit down and have a little game of stud or what?
Yeah, do me in.
Well, it wasn't long before some of the boys took to teasing him a little. They're always fooling around, you know. If they happened to be standing on the street corner and he went past, they'd say something about what he was wearing. Not to him, you understand, but just kind of between themselves, so he couldn't help overhearing it. Didn't make no difference to him, like I told you. Like he didn't know his clothes looked funny.
You know, I've been thinking, what if coming from back east, it's all the clothes he's got? And, he maybe can't afford to buy Western clothes.
Yeah, they're expensive, all right. This Stetson I got set me back $35. That's how come I hold on to the old one for every day.
It's also how come you smell like a damn herd of sheep, too, Davidson. Well, there's cheaper ones. But I guess I can see how a man might not want to get himself dressed up like a greaser, either.
No, that's what I've been thinking about, see? Well, for that... You know that shirt my old lady sent me last Christmas?
Yeah.
Too small.
Yeah.
And you got your old Stetson. And, Berkey, you got some old Levi's around that you don't wear, too much?
Yeah.
If he hasn't got enough money to buy, maybe he could wear something that we had. And if he'd rather have new, why, this would show him what he ought to get, see? Be like a hint to leave it up to him to see what he does.
So, anyway, that's what they done. They made up a big package of Western clothes, all our own things, and wrote his name on the outside to make sure there wasn't no mistake who it was meant for. And paid some Latino kid to take it over to this fella at his rooming house. Might as well have saved themselves the trouble. The next day, this fella was wearing a... Well, I don't know what you call it, but it was made out of a kind of shiny goods with flowers all over it and fitted up high around the neck, you know. About like what you'd see some of those foreigners wearing on TV. Well, he was a sight. And the next day, the very next day, here comes this package back in the U.S. mail, marked in big red letters, delivery refused.
Sent it back just like it was junk and not good enough for him. Here we've been worrying he was too dumb to know better or too poor to buy better and him looking down his nose at us all the time. I'd like to shove that package right down his throat.
Well, he wasn't the friendliest fellow in the world, I grant you that. He never speaks and he never looks you right in the eye, you know what I mean?
The way he looks, it's worse than walking around naked as far as I'm concerned. If he was walking around naked, that'd be my business, wouldn't it? It'd be indecent exposure, wouldn't it? And they'd lock him up for that.
You'd have a hard time making a court case out of that.
I'm not planning on a court case. There's other ways.
Like what?
There's ways. How'd it be if he was in a fix or he had nothing to wear but Western?
No, Berkey, you're always getting yourself in a big stew about nothing.
Nothing?
Why don't you just...
Why, man, he threw that back in our faces like it was dirt. Fella could spit in your face and you just sit there and say, well, let's talk it over. Well, you talk. Only I'm going out to do something. You coming? I got to do it all by myself? Okay, you just sit there and to hell with you, but I'm going out to get that...
Keep your pants on. We didn't say we weren't coming, did we? You got no more patience than a kangaroo rat.
To tell you the honest truth about it, I'd just as soon not have gone with them. Sometimes they're a little high-spirited and hot-headed for an old duffer like me. But I was there, so I went along with him. Got in the car, rode over there to his rooming house, and come in the back way.
Evening, boy. Now, we don't plan to hurt you none. Just going to do something about those clothes of yours. Now, you going to come, or we're going to have to take you?
Well, sir, I'll tell you, my knees were knocking. But that fella didn't act a bit scared. Didn't say a word. Laid his magazine to one side, calm as you please, and went out the door between us. So we all of us got into Berkey's car again and drove on out of town about 10, 12 miles, and Berkey the only one of us doing any talking.
That's no way to dress out here. You got to wear boots and Levi's. Count of the Rattlers and the Cactus, Stetson. Keep your brains from frying in the sun. Well, we're going to give you a little lesson. How come that's the way to dress out here? You're going to see. You're going to see whether you like it or not.
Hey, we turned onto a little back dirt road, and it was dark as hell out there. You know how it gets, no moon and no lights but the headlights of the car. The boys left them turned on while they gathered up brush and tumbleweed and got a good-sized blaze going. And then they stripped off his clothes, about like skinning a rabbit.
Yeah! Look at that shirt, will you? Loudest thing I ever saw in my life. You throw that on the fire, then go off like an atom bomb. Here it goes.
Guess that'll take care of that. Now, look. You see this package? You've seen it before, and you know what's in it. Levi's, Stetson boots. You put them on, you wear them a couple hours, you find out they don't hurt at all. Much better than those girl clothes you've been wearing, especially if you run into a prickly pear. Now, I'm going to leave it right here where you can find it. You understand?
Go on.
Well, I guess he'll think twice about what he puts on his back now, huh?
Well, I can't help feeling kind of sorry for him out there in the dark all by himself. I understand they spook kind of easy.
Didn't look spooked to me. He can take care of himself.
Yeah? How's he gonna find his way back to town in the dark and on foot? He doesn't know his way around these parts like you and I do, Berkey. We shouldn't...
Hell, stop worrying. You're worse than some old woman. He's only half a mile from the highway. Plenty of cars passing there. You can see the lights. Head over there, get himself a ride in plenty of time.
Well, sir, nobody seen hide nor hair of him all next morning. As far as we know, he could have lit out in the opposite direction and just kept going. It wasn't until almost lunchtime I heard anything. The story I got was that folks driving on the highway along about daybreak seen him limping back toward town on foot. They recognized him like anybody around here would and stopped and offered to give him a ride. That he just shook his head and kept on walking. The last day seen of him, he was still walking toward town. I stopped by the barbershop later on that evening to see if the rest of the boys had heard.
Just like I said, he's bullheaded. If he wants to walk instead of ride, you let him. But I never will forget that old shirt of his going up. Thought sure his hat would explode when I threw it in the fire.
Oh, stop carrying on like it was a big joke. You were mad as hell. It wasn't any joke.
Damn right I was. Snotty and bullheaded. Fella like that, you gotta hit him over the head to get his attention. Besides, did you get a look at what he was reading when we came in?
What?
Playboy magazine, that's what.
Oh, we got a whole stack of them right out in front of the barber shop. Why would that bother you?
I suppose it doesn't matter to you that he was looking at those pictures.
No. Any broad's dumb enough to strip her clothes off and pose for something like that deserves anybody looking at her. Just a picture.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He looks at those pictures. And who is it he's going to be going out with in this town? White women, that's who.
Well, they was all touchy as hell, arguing back and forth. Up too late the night before, I guess. So when I seen the chance, I slipped out the back and took a little walk down to the train station. Hung around there talking to old Wilson until the 12:05 come in. It was his opinion that the boy's done the right thing.
Now listen, it's nothing to do with him personal or his color.
Oh, yeah.
A person treats me decent, I treat him decent.
Sure, sure.
I don't care if he's black or green. But the way I look at it is this. One old calf moseying along isn't any trouble at all. But you got a whole mess of them together, and who knows what they're liable to do.
Yeah, well, we never had any trouble like that around here, though. I mean, he's the only one we got.
Well, that's right. But why is it you suppose everybody else tries to keep him out? When you get to be our age, you got to look after yourself, because nobody else is going to do it for you.
Oh.
And why is it you suppose it's always the working men don't want anything to do with them wherever they go, huh? Why is it always these college boys and professors trying to squeeze them in every place that people don't want them? You suppose they're going to take over the college boys' jobs, huh? Well, they don't know any more about that than you or I do. Well, what they know about is lifting and carrying and running our jobs and sweeping. So whose jobs you suppose they're going to take, huh?
Well, now, I never even thought of that before. I always figured the main reason I had my job was because nobody else wanted it. I made up my mind to keep my eye on that fella if he showed up again. What if he went to the boss and offered to work for less than I was getting? I hung around at the station until old Wilson closed up shop and we had a cup of coffee at the diner. Then he went his way and I went mine back uptown along Main Street. It was pretty late, and the streets were all deserted and quiet, and I was coming along by the feed store when I heard this little buzzing sound off in the distance. Then I seen that motorcycle, all loaded up with the laundry bag on the back, just like the first time I seen it. It turned on a main, and I stepped into the doorway of the hardware store and watched him. Seen him pull up alongside the new addition to the bank. He leaned over and picked something up. Still sitting on his motorcycle with the motor running. A brick it was. Picked it up and threw it right through that brand new plate glass window with the excess still not washed off. He picked up some more bricks and stuffed them into his little saddlebag he had hanging over the wheel and started his machine down Main Street, kind of slow but picking up speed, leaning over the side and heaving those bricks right through all those store windows. I ran down to the phone booth by the post office, called the sheriff. By the time he got his britches on, got down there, that fellow was clean out of sight and long gone. So, that's what he done. Smashed those windows and rode out of town. Just don't make any sense to me, none at all. Now, I could see him maybe having a grudge against Berkey and Cox and them because they pulled a trick on him. It was no more than right if he was to pull one on them. But it wasn't them he did it against. It was Mr. Fraser down at the bank, and Mr. Gage, and Mr. Skidmore, and those other businessmen. It was their stores he smashed, and they never did him no harm. Never even passed the time of day with him, far as I know. Just no sense to it at all. No, they didn't go after him more trouble than it was worth. State line's only 25, 30 miles away. Figure that's where he's headed. Good riddance, that's the way we'd feel about it. Let him go back to where he come from. Bust up their buildings. Take their jobs. No, that's not the way we do things out here. But he better not ever show his face in this town again, I'll tell you. Or there'll be a real old-fashioned Western welcome waiting for him. What they used to call a necktie party. Well, stranger, thanks for the coffee and the company. Better be getting back to my sweeping now, I guess. Nice talking to you. Hey, stop in again next time you come into town, eh? Look at that. Look at that there. You suppose that's one of them miniskirts coming in the door? beg your pardon. Didn't mean no harm by it. A fellow my age. Never dreamt it was kin of yours. Howdy, ma'am. Nice morning.
From November 1971, The Way Out West, a play for radio by Laverne Kerr. That was the second prize winner at the Golden Windmill Contest. And we actually have all the prize winners from 1970 and 1971, including the first, second, third prizes, honorable mentions and honorable prizes. And we will be bringing them to you through our Patreon page. Speaking of our Patreon page, if you want to become a patron at Patreon, this is how to do it.
Hello.
Hello.
Here's the Happy Station Show, calling listeners everywhere.
Everywhere.
It's your station of smiles across.
Hello. I'm Keith Perron, host of the Happy Station Show from PCJ Radio International, which next year will celebrate its 90th anniversary. Along with many new listeners that we have attracted over the last 7 years, there are also many of you that tune in who remember the Eddie Starts and Tom Meyer days.
Things are getting to be more improvised any minute. What was the name of this beautiful piece? Nobody knows. The trouble I've seen. Kiss it up.
Over the past few years, many of you have commented that you enjoy when we go into the archives and broadcast material that hasn't been heard in decades. With a number of people asking if the Happy Station Show and Radio Nederland archives will be made available. And guess what? Yes. That's right. Yes. The answer is yes.
Can you imagine when Happy Station was only 7 years old, you started...
I would like to invite you to become a patron at Patreon. At Patreon, you will be able to hear the latest Happy Station show, and for those who are patrons, you will have full access to unedited Happy Station shows and Radio Netherlands content, both in sound and vision, from the past 89 years. All these sound recordings have been remastered from the original tapes and discs. And let's talk about films for a moment. That's right, Happy Station did produce some films. And we went back to this production studio and remastered them. Now just look at how the original 16mm print looked before. But after spending numerous hours going frame by frame, now look at it.
It was really only a hunch. I had an intuition that... he had style enough.
Now, I know that many of you right now would like to see and hear these historical programs. Well, guess what? It's time for you to become a patron at Patreon. Those who become patrons at Patreon will be helping to support the digitization of all these tapes and films.
You cross your fingers, you hold your heart. It's curtain time and away we go. Another opening of another show.
And those who are patrons will also get rewards like rare music recordings, rare programs, books, and much more. Also, if we reach our goal of $200 a month, PCJ Radio International will produce special programs that will be broadcast on shortwave for you. So come on now, show your support today, become a patron at Patreon. For more information, visit www.patreon.com/PCJ Radio.
Paramaribo, 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 Paramaribo.
Yes. Patreon.com/PCJ Radio. And those who become patrons, of course, will have some special things that they can have access to, and also special books and prizes and everything else that will go out to some of you. So do go check it out. Patreon, PCJ/PCJ Radio. All right. A couple of years ago, as I was looking for some music in one of the local shops, I bought this CD, which actually I wasn't intending to do, but there were two of my favorite organizations actually on the CD. First, the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. Second, of course, a band called Coldplay, a British band, which I went to see twice here in Taipei when they were touring. And it's the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra playing the music of Coldplay. They have played pop music before, and this one is also, which is surprising, it's actually quite good. And can just show that nearly any form of music can be orchestrated and sound nice, even if it's rock music that maybe you don't like, but that I like. But nevertheless, it's still very nice. So here they are, the Royal Philharmonic playing Coldplay with Fix You. Fix You. They're performed by the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. Of course, the composition itself was by the UK band Coldplay. Very nice, actually. Very, very nice indeed. Now, next week on the program, we are going to be having a bit of a birthday celebration for the 89th anniversary of the Happy Station Show, and that's next week. Now, since it is 89, I was planning to make, of course, a bigger deal out of it for the 90th anniversary, which will be in 2018. So this will be, well, getting you ready for the 90th anniversary in a year's time. So yeah, actually do tune in. We do have some wonderful things on the program that we are going to be passing along to you, the listener. And, well, we don't know yet. Actually, we're kind of semi-still kind of putting it together. So do tune in next week. Now, if you want to get in touch with us to let us know what you think of the program, we'd love to hear from you. Our email address is, as always, pcjqsl@pcjmedia.com. You should let us know, however, how you're listening to the program. If you're listening to us through PCJ, let us know. But if you're listening to us through one of our partner stations, and that could either be medium wave or FM or DAB, I know in some cases, also let us know as well. And what time you hear the program. Actually, it was really funny because there's one station, and I can't remember the name of the call station, right, the call letters of the station right now. But they air Happy Station twice a week. Once on a Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m. And then they repeat that program a few days later at 4 a.m. So yes, we have two audiences for that show. The audience celebrating from a Saturday night hangover on a Sunday afternoon. And taxi drivers, possibly. Yeah, so very, very strange. But anyway, we only found out that they repeated us at 4 a.m. because somebody said they couldn't sleep. They woke up and they were doing other things and they went, oh, surprise, surprise. Yeah, so that's how we found out. We had no idea. But anyway, do let us know where and how you're hearing the program. Now, our last piece of music that we played just a moment ago was very quiet, very subdued, you see. We're going to end something with a little bit more kick. Perhaps that's an understatement. It's from an LP called On My Way and Shoutin' Again. Count Basie and his orchestra play the music of Neil Hefti with I'm Shoutin' Again. So until next time, friends, I'm Keith Perron wishing you well, saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.